CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back. We're live from CBS Sky Radio with Fire It Up with CJ, which is now available on iTunes. I'm Cassandra from CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ in Eleuthera.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We've been talking about violence and how it is very similar to a disease. It's something that we are exposed to very, in some cases, very early on in our life, culturally and environmentally. And it's work that our guest Luther Lisch has done as part of the Live and Free program with Dr. Joseph E. Marshall. And as part of that program, they talk about a prescription to the disease. And Luther, I was wondering if you could talk about what the prescription is.
I really would be delighted to. And I'll quickly mention, Dr. Joe Marshall trained me in a methodology that we here in Seattle turned into a practice, and the prescription is a high-level idea, and our practice is something that we've turned into both curriculum and a way of helping young people pair with an outreach worker who walks alongside of them as they recover from the disease of violence, so a really intensive practice. But at a high level, the prescription process involves learning about your own preconditioning to violence, whether, like you mentioned, environment, and we talked about, you know, some genetic implications and cultural implications, you know, how these things are perhaps passed on or introduced. But the prescription process really begins when we start to teach and examine and look at, and when I went through the training, when I started to examine these things in my own life, I was learning about risk factors, the risk factors that predispose us, that, and then if we continue to live exposed to those things, we perpetuate or become involved in violence one way or another, both a victim and a perpetrator. And we also, I should make this clear, because we take a public health approach, we don't distinguish between victim and perpetrator. Everybody who's exposed to violence is a victim. And so whether you're perpetrating it, especially in a gang setting, it's really a matter of who might have hurt whom first, but it's hard to say really who the victim is in a situation like that. So it helps to look at it as a medical thing. And there are 9 risk factors. They're very specific. There are things we talk about that are the methods of transmission and teach to how we believe violence is transmitted between people. But then really most importantly, we teach young people that they have to remove these risk factors from their life. They have to then deal with the emotional residue, the byproduct of having been exposed to all of that violence and that trauma, and you really have to do some relearning. And then ultimately we introduce this notion of what we call the new rules for living, these practices, these 4 simple principles that we encourage young people to live, aspire to, and really live in practice. And we see that as the best way to, the sort of best safety barrier to reintroduction to the disease of violence. But it's a long and complicated process, and I count myself as someone in recovery from the disease, and as I've been doing this about 13 years, specifically using this methodology, the young people I see who are now, you know, from 16 to 26 and now in their 30s and on, are young people who are still really, really recovering. It's a really long and deep process. And it's also something we have high regard for when you're thinking of disease. I mean, any disease that someone is fighting is a long thing and has collateral damage and involves a lot of people and money and time, but is really worth fighting for that life.
Interesting. And it's interesting that you've seen the trajectory, and it's not like all unicorn and rainbows, right? I mean, it's a hard thing. It's like people who are recovering alcoholics.
It came in my life in really gritty ways. You know, I have respect for it. I think you have to, like, I was thinking about this sort of silly parallel, but you have to, I like to think I learned how to surf, and I'm not very good at it, but you always have to respect the ocean and keep your eye on it. And the same with the disease of violence. You always have to, you have to notice it. You have to pay attention.
So tell us about A Better Seattle and the work that you're doing with them.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. So Coach Pete Carroll, who is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met, certainly, started doing some work in Los Angeles around gang violence prevention, inspired by some really unfortunate incidents, and was able to mobilize community there and create an organization called A Better LA. When he came to Seattle to coach here, he reached out to this community, and through partnership now with us and the YMCA, and specifically the Alive and Free program and Seattle Youth Violence Prevention Initiative, we're all working in a collaborative project we call A Better Seattle. And A Better Seattle is a fundraising campaign and a championship for the cause. But, you know, donations can be made to A Better Seattle, which is doing great work for our program to expand the work regionally. Those donations can actually be made at the same website I mentioned earlier, the www.metrocenteryMCA.org. But A Better Seattle's a project worth calling out just because they're doing remarkable things.
Okay, so that if I believe in what you're doing, I really want to actually help these kids move to a different place, then I would go to your tell me again the website again. It's
www.metrocenteryMCA.org.
Okay,
and there's
got
a nice big donate button.
Okay.
And you can donate to Alive and Free, and you can know that those donations are also a part of the A Better Seattle project.
Okay, got it. So when I'm doing that, I'm also – so the Better Seattle program is something that you're doing with Pete Carroll, but what is it – what is the program? How does that relate to – he's a coach, and I'm afraid I don't even know what he coaches.
Well, he coaches football, and I got to say, since he's legendary, I'll go out on a limb and do my best to do that justice. But he's an incredible and an inspirational football coach, but he really believes in lifting hope and optimism and the potential in each person, how he coaches, and philosophically it's what he promotes. And he also cares so much about these young disenfranchised folks who have been exposed to violence, and sees that through supporting the work I do, street outreach workers out in the street, one-to-one with kids, he's an incredible champion, and has the celebrity star power to, you know, change political will. He's a really influential guy, and he's doing great work for us and lots of great programs. He's, you know, this project specifically is it's unique in what we're doing. He's fundraising for this kind of work, and I guess that's worth calling out because this kind of work is rarely championed at that level.
Well, thank you, Pete Carroll. Thank you, Luther Lish. Thank you for all the people who are working on such important issues for our society and for
and
the kids.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So thanks, Cassandra. And, folks, please consider a donation at metrocenteryMCA.org. And make sure to join us next week when we talk to Eileen Quigley. And she's going to be telling us about U.S. communities that are pioneering a wide range of clean energy solutions to help heal the planet. So have a great weekend, and thank you, everyone.